بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Inshallah, today we finished off the 14 juz, so we'll be continuing from Surah Hijr. And the 14 juz contains Surah Hijr, the entirety of it, and also Surah An-Nahl. So the first surah that we covered, Surah Hijr, is the surah that was revealed when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was first commanded to openly proclaim Islam. So it is a very, very early surah, and of course that makes it a Makki surah. It contains things relating to the proofs of the Qur'an, objections against the Qur'an, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's answers to them, the story of Shaytan and Adam alayhi salam. Hijr, actually, the surah is named after Hijr. Hijr is actually a place where the people of Thamud used to live. And because they belied their prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And because their story is mentioned in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the surah, Surah Hijr. There are many, many lessons in the surah. Starting right off from the beginning, the second ayah of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. But right now, before I translate this ayah, during this pandemic, there are some of us who are living very, very comfortably, alhamdulillah. And there are others who are struggling and are fearful of what the future holds. Just in New Jersey, for example, there are 800, there are 889,000 filings for unemployment. This is almost 20% of the entire state workforce in New Jersey, and they filed for unemployment. About 30 million Americans overall have filed for unemployment, which is about 10% of the entire population and possibly a quarter of the entire nation's workforce. And these numbers don't include all of those businesses that are barely running off of federal loans and other things, and they're about to break down in the near future. So there are people that are on the brink of just completely collapsing because of this situation. And among the group that is having a hard time financially, we will have two types of people. There are those people that are clinging onto the material world and those that are not. The ones that are running towards the dunya in these situations, they will suffer from sadness, depression, and possibly emotional breakdowns. And the ones that look towards the akhirah, they will still feel physical stress of this world, but their hearts will eventually be at solace and be at peace. Because they know that in each hardship, whatever they face, it is good for them. There's a hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, Rasulullah ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The matter of a believer is very, very amazing. It's very amazing. Because إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. All of his matters, there's khayr in it. There's good in it. And that is only for, إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, is only for a true believer. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says, إِنْ أَصَابَتُ سَرَّى شَكَرًا. If he has a good situation, if he faces good situation, شَكَرًا, he's thankful, and that's good for him. And if he says asabatu darra, and if he's in a bad situation, sabara fa kana khayran lahu, and he has patience, and there's khayr in that too. So there's khayr in all situations. Now it is during these times that Muslims should truly value their iman, because Allah Ta'ala has given them peace at a time where others are breaking down. And it is at these times that even non-Muslims will covet and desire that they had these same feelings in this heart. In this surah, Allah SWT starts off by saying, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, in the second ayah, that many a time, even those that disbelieve, they start thinking in their hearts, لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, that if only they were Muslims. That they, and sometimes have this feeling inside their hearts too. Which is why you may have seen in, that throughout the world, they're even having the adhans play in many, many different countries, including Germany. In places where they really, really were putting Muslims down, they're having adhan played there as well because they're trying to call out the spiritual things. Anyway, moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that famous ayah about the preservation of the Qur'an. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ إِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah himself promises that he will take care of the Qur'an. I will not go into that. That is a separate topic. In one of these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that about Jannah, and he describes Jannah. Now right now in this world, we toil and work hard to achieve some end. And during this pandemic, everyone's eyes are on their paychecks, they're on the investments, they're on their savings. However, as Muslims, our work gives us another end and another goal. The ultimate end and the ultimate goal, which is Jannah, inshallah. In this ayah, Allah Ta'ala gives us a few descriptions. The ayahs I'm going to mention, Allah Ta'ala gives us a few descriptions of Jannah. And I wanted to mention them because these ayahs, they talk more about our condition and state in Jannah as opposed to the things we'll receive there. We always hear about, oh, I'm going to get this in Jannah, that in Jannah. These ayahs actually talk about the state and condition of people. And it's a good reminder while we struggle through this pandemic that what these qualities are of the people in Jannah, so we can look forward to Jannah as well through every struggle that we have. What is the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? Udkhuluha bisalamin aminin. That they're going to have peace and security. What does that mean for us? No more fear of anything. No fear of the present. No fear of the future. No fear of our situation changing. No fear of getting hurt. No fear of getting into sudden accidents. No fear of getting involved in any unfortunate situation. That is one of the qualities of the people of Jannah. That is what they will be feeling in Jannah. No more fear. Peace, 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 and nothing to worry about in the future. There are some people, when they come over from overseas and they see Americans, one of the first things that they notice is every American is in tension because they're always thinking about wealth, money, and finances 24/7. So they notice that they don't have that peace inside their heart. Anyway, that's just a random point. Second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, نَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. No more feelings of grudge or resentment in the heart. There's no more competing with anyone. No more feeling jealousy ever again. A clean heart no matter who we meet. Next thing Allah mentions, إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Everyone is going to be relaxing in Jannah with each other like brothers and sisters. Literally the ayah says, إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. They will be like brothers sitting on couches while they're facing each other. So that feeling you get at family get-togethers when you're really relaxing with your friends and family, this feeling is going to be there in Jannah, but of course it will be incomparable to the feelings we have here. Next thing Allah mentions, لَا يَمَسُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَفَبْ. No more fatigue or feeling of tiredness. No more blood pressure problems. No more headaches. No more body aches. No more back problems. No more becoming exhausted. No more diabetes. No more diseases. Nothing. No more. Work hard in this world and get tired in this world so you never ever have to be tired again in Jannah. Because that is one of the qualities of the people in Jannah. لَا يَمَسُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَفَبْ. No tiredness anymore. Next, last thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. They never have fear of ever being expelled from Jannah. So you can do as you desire without ever having any fear of having these feelings taken away. On this earth, sometimes we're in a moment which is very nice for us, but we know it's going to end. Or we end up going somewhere which you know is very, very nice, maybe a place for vacationing, whatever it may be, but we know it's going to end very soon. Jannah is not like that. You will never, مَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. You will never be expelled from Jannah. And one thing Allah tells in the next surah too, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ. While you're in there, you'll get whatever you desire. Now, if this is what we can get in the end in Jannah, then doesn't it make this pandemic feel like such an easy test because we're getting so many great rewards in Jannah? Or that's a small test, we're getting such great things. That's how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Moving on to the next surah, Surah An-Nahl. This was revealed during the time when Muslims are doing their first migration to Abyssinia, not the one to Medina, but to Abyssinia. Rasulullah did not migrate. The Muslims migrated to Abyssinia, to Habisha. The name of the surah, it has two names, two prime, more popular names. One of them is Nahl. Nahl refers to the honeybee because it's a divine miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about where the honey comes from and how that is a great ni'mah of Allah because it comes through the honeybee. It's also called Surah An-Ni'am, the surah of blessing. Because if you wanted to check any surah and see any surah that has blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us, this surah by far has the most blessings mentioned. Almost every other ayah, Allah is referring to a blessing, one after another, after another, after another, throughout the entire surah from the beginning to the end. So I don't want to cover all the blessings mentioned. I'm just going to refer to specific ayahs about specific blessings, and we'll move forward. First, the greatest ayah that everyone must know, so many people have heard too. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even if you try to count the blessings of Allah, you can never actually enumerate them. You can never count them because they're innumerable. And no matter what our situation is, until we lose our life, we always have blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the way till inshallah we get to Jannah. And we really need to ponder over each and every one of them. Even in this pandemic, there are many blessings. Just to list a few random ones, number one, We've been given a chance to revive Islam in our houses. For many of us, our houses would always stay empty. There would not be that much salah, not be that much Quran, not be that much ibadah. Now we have entire tarawih, everything happening, jama'ah happening inside our houses. Number two, Allah Ta'ala has allowed us more time to ponder and reflect instead of spending time commuting, driving, visiting relatives, restaurants, all those things. He's now given us more time to turn to Him. Number three, each affliction is a way to increase our status. And right now, we are caught in a global affliction. We can use this pandemic to further our case for Jannah on the Day of Judgment. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Before I mention this hadith, some hadith mentions something called Ta'un. Ta'un technically refers to a plague. Some ulama are of the opinion that Ta'un could include pandemics, but most of the ulama say it doesn't. But in all cases, they all still agree that pandemics are definitely a cause for martyrdom. So now to mention this hadith that's in Sahih Bukhari, that Rasulullah ﷺ was asked, that one of the Sahaba told him that, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الطَّاعُونَ, tell me about a ta'un, tell me about these plagues and these diseases that hit people. Then Rasulullah ﷺ said that is a punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon whomsoever He wills. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَهُ رَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and it is something Allah has made a mercy for the believers. Punishment for whoever it may be, but it's a mercy for the believers. And لَيْسَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَقَعُ الطَّاعُونَ, there's no person who will be afflicted by this punishment, by this plague or whatever ta'un. فَيَمْكُذُ فِي بَلَدِهِ صَابِرًا مُحْتَبِسًا, then he stays in his home, in his city, with patience while hoping reward from Allah. And he knows that nothing will harm him except what Allah has destined for him. إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ شَهِيدٍ, except that he will have the reward of a martyr. That's the third blessing. Number four, we've been given an opportunity to practice on another sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba. What is that sunnah? Doing tarawih in our houses. You'll see some hadith. The first tarawih Rasulullah ﷺ did was in his own home. And the first tarawih, a lot of the tarawih the Sahaba used to do would be in their homes. Keep in mind that for men, it is better to do it at the masjid in non-pandemic times. You should still be going to the masjid. But nevertheless, we've been forcefully given a chance to do this sunnah too. Number five, in trying times, it becomes easier to call out to Allah, and overall, the du'as of those in difficulty are more easily accepted. And this is the month of du'a. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easier for our du'as to get accepted in His court. So now we can think of many other benefits, but the point is, we should take advantage of them. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in one of these ayahs, فَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا سَيَّدِينَ يُخْسِفُ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَيَأْتِيهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that Allah Ta'ala tells us that do people feel secure? Actually, before we mention this, Allah Ta'ala mentions in this, He gives a warning for those who continue to sin and commit evil despite using the blessings of Allah. So what does He say? Do those people who are plotting to commit evil deeds, do they feel secure that from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? In what way? That maybe Allah might take the entire earth and sink them into it. Do they think that Allah won't do it? Oh, يَأْتِيَهُمَ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do they think, do they feel safe? Do they think that Allah will not overcome them with a punishment? مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, from a place where they could not even imagine. They couldn't even think about it. And for us, it's kind of like that. We could have never thought this pandemic would happen. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ, or do they think Allah may not catch them and seize them in a punishment فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ, while they're going back and forth from their work and from wherever they have to go to. فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ, then they won't be able to do anything. Oh, يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَفُّ, or do they think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not punish them gradually? For some people, they don't get punished at once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants the seed, lets it grow, and then at the end it erupts and we don't even realize it. But nevertheless, Allah says in the last part of this ayah, فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, but your Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So the last part of the ayah tells us that even though many of us deserve to be punished, Allah ta'ala is nonetheless merciful, and we should call out to Allah's mercy in this month. Then moving on to another ayah, a very popular ayah too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا عِنَّكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ, that whatever you have, that is going to be gone, it will finish, then what is with Allah is going to remain. Allah ta'ala is telling us that whatever material sacrifices we make for the akhirah, they will not disappear. Rather, it is as if you put them in a secure box, guarded by Allah ta'ala alone. Never think that anything you spend for the akhirah is gone. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where Rasulullah ﷺ said that whosoever spends even to the weight equal to just something like a date, even if you spend something that's equal to a date, min kasbi tayyibin, from halal earnings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yataqabbaluha biyamini. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. Thumma yurabbiha li sahibihi. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures our sadqa for us. He takes our sadqa and he nurtures it further for us and lets it grow. Kama yurabbi ahadukum faluwahu. The way any of you would nurture your own animal, your own pet, and this hadith mentions your own horse. Hatta takuna mithla al-jabal. Then that date that you spend in the path of Allah, it ends up becoming equal to the size of a mountain. So whatever you spend, remember, it is going to grow. So we should actually not be saddened upon the sadaqah we're giving. We should actually be saddened upon what we use for ourselves or we store and we never use. And sadly, now we're living in a time where even in a pandemic, we continue to waste food while 1/4 of the country is slowly being forced to live paycheck to paycheck. And that is the situation. We're thinking that, oh, all the poor people are overseas somewhere. No, this country is suffering the most economically from this pandemic. So whatever you've offered to someone else and no longer remained with you, that is only wealth we should truly be happy about. Whatever is not with you, be happy about that. There's a hadith in Tirmidhi where once Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the wives of Rasulullah s.a.w. once slaughtered a sheep, and Rasulullah s.a.w. knew that his wives always liked to give whatever food and whatever they have in sadaqah. So he asked Aisha radiallahu anha that, ma baqiya minha, so what's left? We slaughtered a sheep, probably gave it out in sadaqah, what's left from the sheep? So Aisha radiallahu anha said, ma baqiya minha illa katifaha. There's only one leg that's left. One leg, that's it. There's nothing else left, everything else is gone. So then Rasulullah said, no, بَقِيَ كُلُّهَا غَيْرَ كَتِفِهَا. That everything, the entire part of the sheep is what remains except the leg. It's the opposite. You're thinking you only have the leg. I'm telling you the leg is the only thing that, what do you call it, is gone and everything is with you. What was Rasulullah trying to tell her? That all the things that you gave in sadaqah, that is what you have saved for your akhirah. It is there forever. And whatever you have with you, that's the thing that's going to be gone and that's useless. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاخٍ. Whatever is with you, that is going to be gone, and whatever is with Allah will remain. So in this pandemic, to of course get the mercy of Allah, we should remember all the other people. People in our locality may be suffering too, in our own cities, in our own state. Make sure we spend on them as well. Ask your relatives, ask different people, ask the masajid, give them something too. And the last ayah I wanted to mention was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is toward the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala tells us about, he reminds us that if we do not take care of the blessings he gives us, and we do not take care of remembering who its true owner is, then we may suffer a punishment in this world, even in this pandemic. And right now, even though we're safe, we're comfortable, we're still able to go to the grocery store, and we have foods coming from all over the world. We have imports and exports happening from everywhere. So remember what I'm saying, we're safe, we're comfortable, and we have foods coming to us from all over the world in this pandemic. But if we are ungrateful for these blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may destroy us, especially if we waste them. And what is this ayah talking about? Let me tell you the translation. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a town or a city. كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً. They're safe and they're comfortable. يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Their food comes from them very easily from all over the place, from everywhere. فَكَفَرَتْ بِيَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. But they are ungrateful about the blessings of Allah. فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Then Allah lets them taste the punishment of hunger and the punishment through fear because of all the deeds that they used to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this and grant us the tawfiq to thank Him the way He deserves to be thanked. وَآخِرِ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رب العالمين.